producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, on last week's episode of the Paracast, Chris wasn't around because he had a 10-day flu virus. And now, I don't know what's happened here, because I live, you know, a couple of hours away from Chris, but now I have my flu virus and it's the third day. So, I don't know. I just think it's a secret plot.
I don't think I had the flu, Gene. I actually had, like, a bronchitis. I was all achy, but my stomach was fine. But I'm back in the saddle now, so we'll kind of take charge today and kind of let you off the hook. We don't want to interrupt your 10-year weekly streak of being on as the host of the Paracast without missing a single show, which is an amazing record.
Well, I'll just sort of hang out here and definitely not say very much. I'll let you do all the work. But I'll run the controls. I think I can handle that.
Okay. Well, this is our guest today. Eric Ouellette is definitely my kind of guy. We're going to have some fun.
Oh, yes. The book is called Illuminations, the UFO or UFO Experience as a Parapsychological Event. And the book has a foreword by Jenny Randles. And we haven't heard much from Jenny Randles in recent years.
Yeah. Let's introduce our guest. Eric, is that correct? I don't have the cover in front of me.
Yes, it is actually a parapsychological event, yes.
Now, this is not a large book. It's 215 pages. But there's a lot of meat there, and we're going to go through it and kind of discuss how he got involved in the field. And the second thing is how Jenny Randles came to do the introduction to the book, the foreword. In fact, let's talk about that first, Eric.
Okay. Well, we contacted Jenny because her approach to the paranormal in general, and UFO in particular, is, I would say, similar. So we contacted her, and she was very happy to write the preface. And she, when she wrote to me, she said that she really came to very similar conclusions after many, many years of research. And she's hoping that, especially on our side of the Atlantic, these kind of views would be more diffused than or more known. She feels that in Europe, those views are maybe more common, but definitely on our side, it's not.
Well, of course, as we've often said on here in the Paracast, the opinion that gets the most presence, even though we don't necessarily agree with it, is that it's all E.T. E.T. is here, and that's it.
There's a little bit more to it. She was also encouraging people on our side of the Atlantic to have a much more open view about UFOs and the paranormal in general, if compared to people on her side of the Atlantic. So there is also some, I would say, cross-Atlantic pollination that we're trying to do as well.
Let's take it back to the beginning real briefly here. How did you get involved in studying UFOs?
It's a complicated story, but I had some experience when I was a kid. I did not see a UFO, but I was watching my brothers seeing a UFO, and I couldn't get an access to the binoculars, even though I bugged them so much. And finally, when I saw the binoculars, I could not see a UFO. So it marked me quite a bit. Then time has passed, and then when I did my PhD studies, I met a friend who was very much into UFOs, and that's where I started to go back to my interests, and I started to read avidly on UFOs, although I became quite disappointed that the ETH was so dominant and had so little to show for in terms of evidence. And on top of that, there was a time, it was the 1990s, at the time where the conspiracy theory was reaching levels of delusion never seen before. So I decided, well, you know what? Let's start to study these things from a different perspective, because we're going nowhere now with ETH and the conspiracy theories.
Why don't you give us an example or examples of how many conspiracy theories that you count as being predominant or valid sociologically?
Well, the conspiracy theories that are actually valid are the ones that are, of course, proven. The obvious one is if we think about the Watergate. There is people starting to speculate about President Nixon's and his use of former CIA operatives. And it took two journalists working on it part-time to figure it out in 2 years. So this is a conspiracy, a real one, that was open and then disclosed quite quickly. And it's very hard to hide things, actually. There's always someone who has an issue with his or her conscience and will talk. And then we'll show evidence, and we can disclose. In the case of UFOs, it's always murky. It's always inconclusive. It's always the cousin or the brother or the sister living three doors away that heard something in a bar. I mean, really, these are phenomena that are not based on facts, but based on rumors. And then those rumors get to life on their own. So there are conspiracies that are real. And they are founded relatively quickly, while the other ones are rumors, and they're more along the lines of mythology, creating urban myths, like the example I gave.
Well, how about the ever-present theory that many of these what appear to be nuts and bolts sightings are actually some sort of exotic military secret technology, aerial platforms, psychotronic weapons platforms that are trotted out to you know, sort of garner some sort of response from a particular target area of the unsuspecting public? I mean, that to me is, at least in this country, is one of the predominant, if you want, conspiracy theory that attempts to explain at least some UFO sightings. Where do you come down on the whole idea of exotic, you know, real nuts and bolts human-derived technology?
Oh, I'm convinced that there are a number of sightings. There were actually aircrafts or drones or other flying machines created by humans that were perceived as odd, and then people thought that they were UFOs from another world. Definitely. Is it the majority? No, I would think it's a small minority, because working with the military, I know that in these kinds of situations, they try to use these equipment in remote places where they can use it and see if it works. Because obviously, if ordinary citizens can watch these things, then the enemies, the Soviet Union during the Cold War and others, could also watch and see what's going on. So they come for some, yes, but I would not say many.
Well, once some of this equipment is deemed operational and viable, I would think if it's of an exotic nature, they'd want to, you know, trot it out and test it, you know, over some sort of public airspace to gauge response, to see if people report it as a UFO, how they describe it, whether they file a report with their local law enforcement, whether civilian UFO groups are called, whether the media picks it up, whether the sighting is, you know, sort of taken into the media and then they put their inevitable spin on it and disseminate it out into the culture. This is one area that I've done quite a bit of active research and thinking about. And I do agree with you that at least a certain portion of sightings are misidentified, you know, exotic technology. And I think the adage that you hear most often is that we are only aware of technology that has been operational for 15 to 20 years. Things that are operational now, if the formula is correct, won't be publicly acknowledged for another 15 or 20 years. So that, with the, you know, the pace of technology and development of, you know, scientific principles behind some of these technologies, you can really accomplish a lot in a generation before then you allow the public to know about it.
Let's have that example in our next segment.
Okay.
Our guest is Eric Ouellette. The book is Illuminations. You're on with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
I know that a lot of our listeners are interested in UFOs, the issue of giant skeletons found in America, paranormal investigations, and what the top researchers think about such topics. One online magazine has been presenting such unusual information since 1985. It is Alternate Perceptions Magazine at apmagazine.info. Use their search function to find articles on just about every topic imaginable. That's apmagazine.info. Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
Dr. Joel Wallach is not your typical doctor. Both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician, Dr. Wallach asked, why does America spend more money on healthcare by far and yet ranks 50th in health and longevity worldwide? The doctor believes that people should be empowered with a basic understanding of nutrition, then take charge of their life to attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects, requiring more toxic prescription drugs. Talk about being dependent on drug companies, to our own destruction no less. This is clearly a deadly recipe. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the government and big pharma manipulation of our healthcare system. I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people and have joined forces to help this tireless crusader spread his message. Visit GCNminerals.com and listen to Dr. Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I invite you to join the GCN Minerals team. Go to GCNminerals.com. That's GCNminerals.com.
Today, more than ever, it's imperative that you protect your digital privacy. EDEC Digital Forensics Signal Blocking Anti-Radiation Anti-Surveillance Faraday Bags shield the contents of your phones, tablets, and key fobs from 4G, Wi-Fi, GPS, Bluetooth, NFC, and more. Find us at edecdf.com/radio or call us now at 805-222-4584. That's 805-222-4584. Radio listeners get 20% off your order.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, I'm kind of under the weather, big time, so we're letting Chris do the work. But I'm still here. So therefore, I still keep the schedule.
So you're a real trooper, Gene.
I'm something I haven't figured out what yet, Chris.
Okay. As we were going into break, I was discussing the likelihood that at least some percentage of sightings that are reported, at least in North America, could be exotic military technology that is still secret and classified. A good example would be a number of years ago, I think 3 or 4 years ago, the CIA made the big announcement that the SR-71 Blackbird was probably responsible for, and they made the amazing statement that all UFO sightings could be attributed to the SR-71 Blackbird. To me, that's kind of ludicrous because they fly at such a high altitude in a straight line. They're ballistic in nature. They don't exhibit, non-ballistic behavior. But it does kind of give a little bit of insight into the thinking of the national security apparatus. You go into the book really looking at the UFO phenomenon based on work that has already been done in the realm of parapsychology. And I think you do a very, very good job of showing how PK events, psychokinesis, other psi events, actually could be overlaid onto the UFO phenomenon. I'm sure, you know, over the course of the show, we're going to get into all that. But why don't you first give us a background on your thinking, how it developed from that initial almost sighting experience that you had, that you watched your brothers have. How did you develop into the scientist that we now see today, who is really groundbreaking in attempting to explain things with more of a parapsychological explanation? Well, what was your development like?
Well, in reading both UFO literature and the parapsychology literature, one thing that struck me very strongly is how, especially a UFO wave, so large amount of sightings, these events tend to, if you look at the general structure of the events, it seems to be very similar to the poltergeist event, or where things are moving around in the house and people don't understand what's going on. On the surface, these events seem very different. So people perceive the objects in the sky on one hand, and on the other hand, they start to see the furniture moving by itself or electric equipment starting on its own in a family house. But if you look at the structure of those events, the unfolding is very, very similar. And that's why I started to have a hunch that there is something that is actually more along the lines of the paranormal when we look at UFOs, rather than something from outer space. And, of course, there is this strong argument that if you look at the UFOs from an ETH perspective, then you need to have either tissue sample that's not from this earth, or a piece of equipment that's not from this earth. And in over 70 years of modern ufology, we have absolutely nothing to show for. So combining all these ideas together, I'm starting to see that, yeah, maybe parapsychology has actually a lot to offer to understand UFOs.
Well, and that leads us back to that question of potential government involvement. There's many true believer types out there in the ETH that are convinced of the conspiracy theory that the government has actually recovered alien technology, recovered bodies, and some stories even live aliens. But, of course, all this is classified and we'll never know about it. I think your argument there is that too many people would have to be involved and somebody would grow a conscience and spill the beans.
That's correct. And actually, I did look at other governments, because a lot of the conspiracy theories is coming from the United States, but many, many governments around the world had to deal with the UFO phenomena. And they started studies about that, sometimes big, sometimes small, but and they all came to some conclusion. That's the strength of, I would say, all that international research, so to speak, on UFOs, is that whatever it is, it's not dangerous, it's not a threat to national security, and it's so elusive, so hard to study, that really it's not up to the military to deal with that. So a very different perspective from the conspiracy theory, but the government of the United States, in my view, had in general the same approach. Yes, they had more interest in UFO than they were willing to say many years ago. In the end, they came to the same conclusion. It's not dangerous. It don't know what it is. But we're not going to study something that is so flimsy, so hard to understand.
You mentioned early on in your book, which I highly recommend to our listeners, this is one of the more important books, in my estimation, that have come out in actually many years, going all the way back to some of Vallée's work, some of the work of, as you point out here, Jerome Clark and Lauren Coleman. There's an interesting quote in here from a work that they co-authored together in the mid-70s, that they felt that the objective manifestations of UFOs are psychokinetically generated byproducts of those unconscious processes which shape a culture's vision of the other world, existing only temporarily. They are at best only quasi-physical. I think that that kind of sums up possibly a doorway in which you can open into a whole new world of understanding about these objects, which you absolutely dive into feet first. Why don't you explain, first of all, where those connecting points are between the paraphysical, the not quite subjective, not quite objective, but as George Hansen, myself, and others love the word liminal, which is like standing in the doorway and not being either in one room or another room, and then some sort of trigger kind of sets you off in one direction, either subjectively or objectively, depending on the amount of information you have and depending on your kind of pre-designed wants and desires about the subject. Why don't we kind of look at parapsychology and then how it's liminal and how that can be applied to the UFO phenomenon?
The key idea here is that when we talk about parapsychological event, we're talking about information that is received by non-normal means, so think about telepathy here, or information that is modified by non-normal means. Here's a bit more complicated to understand, but when an object is moving, it has a direction, has a composition. This is information. So if you change the composition of an object or its direction, you're actually changing the information about it. So that's the perspective here that's taken. So when we think about UFO, I can see there are two ways that this can happen. There might be something physical, earth lights, balls of lightning, some sort of plasma, or even a regular plane or helicopter in the sky, or there's actually no physical object. What makes it a parapsychological event is that people see in those objects, if there are, or in their quote-unquote hallucination, they obtain information about something that through non-normal means. And what I mean by that is that if you have more than one observers that are not connected to each other and they see a UFO, whether there is, again, an object behind it or not, and they come to see the object by giving a similar description, and yet they were not in the same direction or there was no objects, then there's something happened. They shared information telepathically or they had some sort of premonition or clairvoyance. So that's what makes it parapsychological, is that is the information they share or the information they receive about an object.
We've got more to come with Eric Ouellet and Gene and Chris. You're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Chronic inflammation is now known to block your ability to repair and compromises your immune system, making you more vulnerable to all diseases. Since poor diet, injuries, or stress are all contributing factors, Many people suffer from inflammation. Your body's number one means of neutralizing the inflammation and the pain that it may be causing is glutathione. Glutathione is the body's number one peptide to neutralize free radicals and thus stop inflammation.
Hi, my name is Jason. I'm 44 years old. For 10 years, I had been suffering from chronic pain in my abdomen and groin that radiated down into my feet. After 3 weeks on One World Wave, the pain in my feet reduced by 50% and the overall pain in my body reduced significantly as well. I ran out of One World Wave and the pain returned. I got another container, and again, after 3 weeks, the pain reduced significantly throughout my body. I'd highly recommend One World Way to anyone dealing with chronic pain due to inflammation.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Today, more than ever, it's imperative that you protect your digital privacy. EDEC Digital Forensics, Signal Blocking, Anti-Radiation, Anti-Surveillance Faraday Bags shield the contents of your phones, tablets, and key fobs from 4G, Wi-Fi, GPS, Bluetooth, NFC, and more. Find us at edecdf.com/radio or call us now at 805-222-4584. That's 805-222-4584. Radio listeners get 20% off your order.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, we have Eric Ouellette. The book is called Illuminations. Chris?
Eric, go ahead and kind of pick up where you left off. We were talking about how these things are related, parapsychology and PK type events and the UFO phenomenon.
Yes. So the if there's an object, especially if these objects are of a strong electromagnetic nature, it can induce hallucinations. There's a lot of research on that. But that hallucination doesn't mean that the person is crazy. It means that the person sees things, and whatever that person sees may contain information that is transmitted either to another person or information about the future. So that's where the parapsychological aspects start to show. If there is no object, again, we have an hallucination, but it may be shared by more than one people. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a specific example. Recently in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, very recently, there was two groups of people in two different cars at the very busy intersections, who saw a UFO very close. I would say, to use Hynek topologies, was an encounter of the first kind. And yet, only these two groups of people saw it, and it was a very busy intersection in the middle of the day. And those two groups contacted a UFO and paranormal organization locally, not knowing of each other's what was going on. So here's an interesting case. Was there something physical in the sky? Probably not, because otherwise other people would have seen it and it would have been in the news right away. Doesn't mean that nothing anomalous happen? Absolutely not. I mean, if two groups of people independently see something and provide the same description, then we have to conclude that they shared information through non-normal means, which we call telepathy, if you want. So that's what makes UFO events interesting, is because of this access to information through non-normal means.
You know, you mentioned that in the book that, you know, electromagnetic energy can have an effect on human cognition, and but doesn't there have to be some sort of source of the emanations? I mean, if these are, you know, manifestations of some sort of misidentification or delusion or some sort of, I don't know, sort of hallucinatory experience, doesn't there have to be some sort of energy generator that's creating these EM effects that then that affect the mind?
Indeed, there has to be a source. The research on the topic is still evolving right now, but there are some known sources. So you can think about power towers, radars, stations, as well as more exotic natural phenomena like earth lights, balls of lightnings. And we think maybe some variation in geomagnetic, the natural earth geomagnetic field may have an impact on the brain. There was a research done recently about the haunting castle where there was a ghost that was seen by many, many people over decades. And yet they saw that the ghost was always seen when the person was in bed, in the same bed. So they did some research about the geomagnetic field where normally the person would put his or her head on the bed, and they saw a very significant variation in the geomagnetic field, which provides some interesting perspective that it doesn't need to have a very powerful source like being just beside a radar station to create that kind of effects on the brain.
You know, of course, the skeptic would argue, or the ETH believer would argue, that because UFO reports are so, or UAP reports, I think, as you point out, and very justifiably so, is a more accurate, I think, acronym, which is Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon, or AAO, Anomalous Aerial Objects. Because of the wide distribution of sighting reports from all over the world, doesn't that kind of nullify any sort of cell towers, power lines? I mean, if you're in the middle of Central Africa and you don't even have phone lines anywhere near you, ground lines or hard lines, or any sort of machinery capable of producing the type of EM fields that we're talking about, how do you explain that? You know, a guy on a safari driving along sees an object, it gets close to him, his engine dies, the object then as it departs, the engine comes back on. There's a lot of examples of very, very well-documented sightings that you would kind of have to scratch your head because I don't think there's any explanation for the type of effects that could be attributed to some sort of EM field and the human reaction or response to that field.
Well, I'm not saying that every single observation is caused by that. I never said that in my book, and I'm not saying that now. What I'm saying is that sources of electromagnetic fields includes the geomagnetic fields. And so that it's more spread than we think. That's what I'm saying. So let's be clear on that. The second point about that is the fact that oftentimes people are also in what we call an altered state of consciousness. So they are like more or less in trance, which is a state of mind where hallucinations are more likely to happen. And when I say hallucination, again, I'm not saying that the input that gets in the brain person is not coming from the outside. Yes, they may actually get some message telepathically. But the point is that there are all kinds of things that can create altered states of consciousness. Electromagnetic fields is one of them. But it might be some just normal person that they are more prone to that. So it's easier for them to be in state of trance. And then the other circumstances are such that there is something that they can start to see that looks like a UFO. So geomagnetic energy and electromagnetic energy is only one piece of the equation. And in my book, I think I'm pretty clear that saying that's one part of it, but it's far from being everything.
Yeah, I understand that, and I was just pointing out that there are a lot of reports that what you would have to go in another direction to try to explain the kinds of, you know, human response to the phenomenon and how that phenomenon interacts with the witness or witnesses in this example. Just strikes me because I've had a number of reports. I've been a field investigator for 10 solid years back in the 90s, and I had a number of cases where groups of witnesses, when interviewed separately about a particular event, they tended to have some of the general information, usually color, size, that sort of thing. I think, consistently agreed. But when it came to duration, sequence of events, the type of feeling that they got, that they were all over the map. And there were even, there was a couple of reports where a group of people and you know, only a certain number of the people were able to actually experience the sighting event. The others didn't know what they were talking about. So that, of course, indicates to me that there's some sort of social psycho element going on. And, you know, I think a little later on, obviously, we're going to get into that. But, you know, the way you start the book out, I really, really appreciate, because you look at, for instance, the poltergeist phenomenon and how you can break it down. And you came up with your, it's called recurrent spontaneous psychokinetic effects in hauntings, for example. And let's go ahead and look at RSPK and how that is fairly predictable in terms of a model of outlining how particular events, are expressed, for lack of a better word, and then how that expression seems to be organized. And, I think that's really important for people to understand that there is an apparent connection in terms of UFO waves and, how a series of poltergeist events, for instance, seem to mimic one another in a bell curve.
Let's break here. And we'll continue with Eric Ouellette. And Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Conspiracy Journal is your number one source for the hidden world of the weird and strange. We bring you thought-provoking and controversial material for free-thinking individuals who are seeking what is really going on in our world today. Some of this material may adversely affect you. Other pieces are meant to enlighten. Either way, be prepared to be intrigued by such things as the reality of UFOs, ghosts, strange creatures from time and space, hidden conspiracies, time travel, Nikola Tesla, suppressed technology, and a whole lot more. You can find out more by visiting our website at conspiracyjournal.com. There you can sign up for our free weekly newsletter sent directly to your email address. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral. Don't pick on the IRS alone. I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes. I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Today, more than ever, it's imperative that you protect your digital privacy. EDEC Digital Forensics signal blocking anti-radiation, anti-surveillance Faraday bags shield the contents of your phones, tablets, and key fobs from 4G, Wi-Fi, GPS, Bluetooth, NFC, and more. Find us at edecdf.com/radio or call us now at 805-222-4584. That's 805-222-4584. Radio listeners get 20% off your order.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we have Eric Ouellette, the author of Illuminations. Chris, you want to finish that comment before we go on?
Yeah, we were going to dive into looking at haunting events and I think more specifically poltergeist events. And we're going to look at how the onset of events, there's a bell curve that seems to take place, which is eerily reminiscent, pardon the pun, of how UFO waves tend to begin, come to a peak or a crescendo and then fade away or start to fade away, for lack of a better word.
Yes, absolutely. I owe a lot to a parapsychologist in Germany. His name is Walter von Lukadu, who studied poltergeists for many, many years. And he actually is both a psychologist and a physicist, and he's running a clinic in Germany to study poltergeists. What he noted over the years is that this always the same kind of bell curve, as you say, happening. At first, there's a surprise. People see strange things, but they're not really sure what's going on in their house. Things seem to move, or the kids say there's something happening. So they're not sure really what's going on. But then the phenomena starts to get bigger and bigger, and then way more obvious and ostentatious. And that usually at that point, they have a chance to talk to their neighbors and other people, and eventually what von Lukadu calls the naive observers, so the believers in spirits and ghosts and all this, arrives on the scene, try to help the family, quote-unquote, and then they start to inject all kinds of paranormal explanations based on non-human entities involved in the house. And at that point, usually the anomaly becomes way bigger. There's now things are moving by themselves very often. There's big noise in the house that cannot be explained, and so on. And then as the story gets known, then the more critical observers arrive on the scene. Sometimes university professors, others more skeptics, and they start to ask more stringent questions. They start to observe things in a more skeptical way. And then usually at that time is where the intensity of the phenomena drops sharply. There's way less noise. There's way less moving things. And that's also at the time that some observation of cheating or hoaxing are catched. That person that seems to be at the center of all this, we think that maybe starts to like the attention he or she's getting. And then because the phenomena was declining, try to compensate with hoaxing. And then eventually the last part is when the society in general or the authorities or the social services gets involved. And then they declare this is all a hoax and it's all just a normal family issues. And they put the lid over it, and that's the end. There's no more events going on. What is powerful about his approach is that people, or the different kind of people involved, influence, I would say, the intensity of the belief that this is some sort of entity that is behind it, or influence the reverse belief that there's nothing abnormal going on. And it seems to be that psychical energy of all those people believing and then being overrun by the non-believer, that seems to be what dictates the intensity of the phenomena. And like you mentioned, I've seen that same kind of scenario in a number of UFO waves.
Specifically, which UFO waves has this similarity been observed?
In the book, I'm looking at two major UFO waves, the Washington, D.C. 1952 and the Belgian UFO wave of 1989-1991. And then I use the same model for, I would not call it the wave, but the Rendlesham UFO incident of 1980. All kinds of similar types of patterns can be seen once we pay close attention to the unfolding of events.
Specifically Rendlesham, we've discussed that quite a few times here.
Yes. Well, the thing is that in Rendlesham, we have a very similar situation where you have the first people, the first night, who see something, and then very weird. They make a report on it, but they're not really sure what's going on. And then another night where one of the commanders, which have shown that, at least after the fact, has some sort of interest in UFOs, perceived as alien spacecraft, goes in the field and then really start to look for evidence of something physical. So the phenomenon becomes even more intense in the sky, according to the reports anyway. And then at the point where the base commander, the top guy, gets involved with his staff, and then they start to look in the sky and they don't see anything. And they're very skeptical. And the interviews we have many years later on, after shows that that person was skeptical from day one. And that's where the phenomena start to go away quickly. And then there's an investigation that's done by the British Ministry of Defense declaring that nonsense. And so this thing disappears. So we have the same kind of curves, and the dose on a much smaller scale if you compare it to a UFO wave.
It almost sounds like the more skeptical you are, the more likely you are to chase the phenomenon away.
Well, actually, this is a key observation from parapsychology. They call it the sheep-goat effect. They notice that the researchers who are pro-parapsychology tend to have better results than statistical chance. Researchers that do the same experiment who are very skeptical, they tend to have results that are lower than statistical result they should get normally. So it's one of the key idea. And there's some people talk about the psi, so this mental energy that creates these phenomena, and anti-psi. So this seems to be in conflicts, and the anti-psi in the end always win, and so the phenomena disappears.
How about the subconscious or unconscious role in producing psi effects. You point out that people who are more intuitive, like artists and musicians, tend to be more in touch with their unconscious thoughts and feelings, and they tend to score higher on ESP tests, for instance. You said, likewise, psi tends to be more frequent when people are in an altered state of consciousness. You put temporarily absent-minded, half asleep, hypnotized, in a trance, or I would add, for the abduction phenomenon, in a hypnagogic state. Let's discuss the role of the unconscious or subconscious in the individual, first of all, and then we'll look at it in the collective unconscious.
Okay. Well, it's one of the key ideas in parapsychology that those phenomena, the psi phenomena, are somehow linked to unconscious processes, something very deep in the human mind. When there are conflicts in the human mind and those conflicts cannot be expressed, in some occasions, then the mind finds a way to influence the environment outside and communicate those conflicts. That's how poltergeists are explained. That says a person in state of distress, but cannot speak for all kinds of social reason to the rest of the family. And there's so much accumulation of frustration that are, but yet not expressed, that in some occasions, then it will take the root of a psychokinetic effect, and things will start to move and break down. So that's one aspect. The other aspect is the realm of the unconscious is really the realm of the symbolic. When we have dreams at night, for instance, coming from the unconscious mind, the meaning of those dreams is very, very symbolic, and that's why so oftentimes very hard to interpret. But so the message we get from the unconscious that may become telepathic or premonitions, or in the case of psychokinesis, moving things, they tend to have a symbolic meaning that's hard to decipher, but they are meaningful. So the unconscious plays a key role in all this. How exactly, we don't know. We know that psi effects usually have also a symbolic meaning, one sort or another. And it could be as simple as, you know, you have a warning, so you have a premonition that something wrong is about to happen. But because the unconscious speaks in symbols and in feelings, you will not get the details of it. But in a dream, you may get a symbol that's used to show danger, somebody you don't like, for instance, visiting you. It's not that that person will ever visit you, but there's something dangerous coming your way, so you better watch out. So that's the unconscious plays like that. And so because of that, when people see anomalies, and anomalies that we cause by psi, they inject symbols that are meaningful to them. So in the 20th century, they will see, in 21st century, they will be seeing aliens from outer space, but 100 years ago, that would be just an inventor of an airship, and 200 years ago, it would be the ghost driver of a coach, and so on.
Let's do our break here, folks, and then we've got more to come with Gene and Chris and Eric Ouellette. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's ROCKOIDS.com.
Average weight loss in the study was 8.3 pounds to 4.2 inches total in first month. Results vary. Call to cancel within 14 days and return remaining non-frozen food for a refund, less return shipping. Free shakes with first order only.
All right, guys. The holidays are over and we have got some weight to lose. Let's do this. It's going to take pizza, some pasta, some chicken parm, great foods, all part of the awesome new Turbo 10 program from Nutrisystem. You'll love it. Money back guaranteed. Lose up to 10 pounds and 5 inches in your first month. Look, you keep putting it off, you'll keep putting it on. So call Nutrisystem today and get 4 weeks of delicious meals and 1 week of Nutrisystem's new Turbo Shakes free, packed with protein plus probiotics to help support digestive health and bust that gut. You'll also get a week of NutriCrush Shakes to crush hunger free. Come on, lose up to 10 pounds and 5 inches in your first month. Call 866-987-THIN, 866-987-THIN. Make the call, 866-987-THIN.